91.7 FM, WMWM Salem, on the Juke Joint. From the album Live at the Blues Museum, that's Harper and Midwest Kind, with Love Equals Peace Equals Freedom. And as I mentioned before that, a bit of bluegrass, actually, Charles River Valley Boys from the mid-60s, from the Boston area, Yellow Submarine, from the album Beetle Country. And I was expecting this in about 15 minutes. He's calling a little early, but we're going to talk right now to Peter Harper, otherwise known simply as Harper, and let's hope this works. Hello, Harper. Are you there?
Hey, Bob. How are you, mate?
I'm doing very good, yes. And as we were mentioning earlier, I think you were born in England, but you're from Australia, so I guess we got to get used to people calling each other mate, right?
Yeah, I kind of... there was a whole swag of English people left England in the 70s and grabbed all their family and went to Australia to start a new life. So that was my dad. He wanted to get over there. And so we packed up and all went to Australia. And I, you know, stayed there for the best part of my life before we moved here. And it's been a great time. You know, we've certainly had a good time in the States.
Yeah, that's great. So when did you move to America?
Well, we permanently moved over about 7 years ago. But before that, we were coming over and doing, you know, sort of summer tours and then going back to Australia and having summer there. So for quite a few years, I was just having permanent summers, which was awesome.
Yeah. To be honest with you, before I heard of you, the only Australian blues artist I heard of was someone named Dave Hole.
Actually, you know, funny, I grew up in the same area as him in Perth, and we used to play at the same hotels together. He was a bit older than me, but he used to let me get up and play with him, and then I'd do it with him, you know, do some shows together. So he came out on the Alligator label.
That's right.
I think he was the first Australian that got signed to Alligator, and I guess I ended up with Blind Pig.
Yeah, I've got a couple of your albums here. We've got about three or four of your albums, and... one of them, the latest one, you're actually matched up with someone who calls himself Motor City Josh. I've also got one here called Stand Together, and we just played a cut from Live at the Blues Museum. Now, I mentioned Motor City Josh. How did you meet up with him?
It was funny. We actually were doing a fundraiser for somebody. Actually, it was for the food bank, and they asked us to come along, and, you know, we always like to help out. So... I turned up there, and then Josh turned up, but we both didn't have our bands with us because they'd all gone away. We'd stopped touring. So we just said, hey, do you want to just do something together? And I went, yeah, that'll be fun. So we did this food bank concert, and we liked it so much. We said, you know, we should probably do a little acoustic blues thing because I don't get to do that very often. It's always my own songs, and, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that music, but it was nice to... go out and do some traditional blues style that I haven't done in a long time and pay my respects back to the music that made me do this wonderful business that I'm in.
Yeah, the CD is called Bare Bones, and it came out last year. I think it's on your own label. And it says your website is harper.biz if people want more info about you and so on. We'll get to that CD in just a minute, but one of the things I was reading about you was one of the instruments you play is the didgeridoo, which traditional Australian instrument. Do you play any other instruments that are Australian that we're not too familiar with, or is it just the harp and the didgeridoo?
Well, there aren't too many instruments. I mean, really, the didgeridoo is the native Australian instrument, and that's pretty much all I ever played, that and a thing called a bull roarer, which is just a... I guess it's a piece of wood on a string, and you spin it around, and it makes this amazing noise. And that's you know, because they lived in the everyone calls it the outback, we just call it the desert, and the Aboriginal people live there, and that they just find these trees that are hollowed out by ants, and then I guess 2,000 years ago, some guy said, you know what, I'm gonna blow into that thing and make a noise, and then it started becoming really popular, and there's quite a few Americans doing it now. I've bumped into quite a few that can play. It's been a great instrument to add to the collection. I guess everyone knew me as a harmonica player for years, but, you know, I like trying different things, Bob.
Yeah, that's great. It's almost like the old days you know, here in the States, where people would get a washtub and a stand-up, you know, like a broomstick and a string and make an instrument out of it. Well, that's what you did with the didgeridoo. So how many, do you have about, like, what, 4, 5, 6 albums available or something?
Yeah, yeah, about, I think it's like 5 or 6, yeah. And if anybody wants them, it's easy to go to my website and get them. They're all there. And or go to Blind Pig Records, of course. They'll be more than happy to give CDs out. They've been a great company to work with. I'm pretty much independent now, but, you know, I might go back with them again. They're such a great team to work with.
Yeah, I think you're also on Amazon. I think people could download, you know, individual tracks if they wanted. But I was listening to the most recent album, and I was really delighted. Some of the songs I was playing, the first couple actually, well, number one and I think number 4 or 5 have a good sense of humor. Pothole Barbecue and also Stop Staring at Your Phone, which a lot of people would like to tell other people.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the funny thing is the first gig we did, we were at this place called the Alamo in Illinois. And I was singing that, and there was a guy right in front of us, and he was just looking at his cell phone through the whole song. So we made a big deal out of it and embarrassed the hell out of him. And, you know, yeah, it just seems to be quite a common thing. You know, you can do a concert, and there'll be people there just looking at their phone. It's like, you know, put it down for 5 minutes, you know. You can actually leave that thing alone.
Well, a lot of people, myself included, will, you know, well, we have to record like maybe one song on the phone and put it on YouTube or something, or maybe record it on audio. We're not going to bootleg it or something. It's just, you know, sometimes we want a little memento. But that is true. I see so many people looking at their phone, and that's all they do. It's crazy. So anyway,
yeah, I was just going to say, it's really funny that people say that it's illegal to do that, but actually, it promotes your music, and people still buy the CDs, you know, that. They like to get the sound or the video of us, especially when as soon as I'm playing a didgeridoo, there's like about 500 phones facing me with people filming me doing it because it's such a unique instrument, I guess. So there's about 4,000 videos of me playing a didgeridoo out there.
Yeah. So again, so you sing and you also play the didgeridoo and you play the harmonica. I'm guessing harmonica is what you play most. You don't play guitar at all, or...?
No, I do. I mostly play piano for songwriting, but I have a bit of a problem trying to sing and play piano. My hands don't like doing anything when I'm singing. I think I put so much effort into the singing that they don't like moving. So I can do it for songwriting, but as soon as I try to sing, it's just very difficult for me. I think I just have this brain that goes, like, look, I can only do one thing at a time. So
Yeah.
Some people can do it, but I just find that very difficult.
Yeah. Who are some of the artists of the past that would be a big influence for you? I think I was looking at your website or something, and I think it mentioned something like Muddy Waters. Who were some of the people that you grew up with that you wanted to base your sound on, maybe?
Well, I guess I always loved Bill Withers. I've always loved his funky style that he does, but there's so many, and, you know, it's not always blues neither, Bob. I mean, I sort of grabbed from everywhere. I was a big fan of bluegrass. You were mentioning you played some
yes,
before.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, we were at Merlefest and we played there. And you know, the one thing about bluegrass, I think, is people who play it are really committed to the instrument. And like we'd do this festival, and like you could be at 10 in the morning at this festival, and people who were playing were just unbelievably good. And it was such a great time we had there. And the funny thing is that they had Lyle Lovett on later on, and then Randy Travis, and then at the end of the night, it was Robert Plant with his Band of Joy.
Wow, yeah.
And so that kind of music always fascinated me. I just love the honesty of it, you know, in the same way that I love blues. And it's really hard to just pick one artist, because if you do, then you've sort of stopped yourself from all the other ones that you love. And there might be bits from, you know, I mean, I love Booker White, you know, old Booker
right.
White with his great rhythms that he used to do. And, you know, of course, Robert Johnson with his haunting voice that he had. And like you mentioned before, Muddy, I mean, his voice was incredible. And there's just too many, you know. There's always a new one all the time. And you can't, well, wow, I love the sound of that. And you go, well, he was playing in 1932 and I've just found out about him, you know. So thank goodness for radio shows like yours that we get to hear some music we may not have ever heard before.
Yeah, like one that comes to mind immediately is Sonny Boy Williamson, number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, he was great with rhythm. I mean, he had great rhythm for harmonica. It was just such a nice unique sound that he had. And then, you know, you've got all these other great players as well. I mean, Sugar Blue with his crazy style that he has, that obviously influenced John Popper. He was heavily influenced by Sugar Blue, and Sugar Blue became a friend of mine. I've met him a couple of times, and you know, I really like his style too. So there's just, you know, these great players everywhere that just sound amazing. I'm a big fan of good guitar players. Any of the Kings, you know, I'll just love them. Freddie, Albert,
BB,
you know.
Albert, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the whole family, the whole clan, they're just awesome players. So, you know, I always regret that I never really picked up a guitar and learned to play, but I guess if I had, I wouldn't be doing the didgeridoo and the harmonica, right?
Yeah, when you mentioned Sugar Blue, I'm not sure how many people realize this, he's the one playing harmonica on Miss You by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was. And I guess he's trying to, like, move on from that, but the people that know him, they're always wanting him to do it. So, you know, he always told me, he said, you know, it's terrible. They always want me to do it. And I said, yeah, but it paid your bills for a long time. You know, and he said, yeah, that's true. He said, yeah, I've got to keep doing it. And I went, yep. As soon as you do something big like that, it stays with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, he put out an album. He did a version of it, so he was doing it then. Now, this latest album, Bare Bones, it's basically just you and Motor City Josh. Is there any other musicians on there as well? Or
No, it was actually two microphones in a studio. Let's go for it. And we wanted to keep it that porch-style blues. And that's why it was called Bare Bones, because we broke everything down. You know, Motor City Josh has his own band, and obviously, you know, I've got mine. And it was just something we wanted to do, and we thought, if we're going to do this, let's just break it down to the basics. And it was just guitar, harmonica, and no didgeridoo at all in that, and just singing these crazy songs about potholes and all the things that annoy all of us, you know, that keep us annoyed at the government for not fixing the things.
Well, we know that around here, believe me. Same thing happens
around
here. Yeah,
and Michigan too. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, so do you basically tour mostly around the Midwest, or are you doing the whole country? I know you're coming to Somerville here to Johnny D's on April 25th, but are you touring the entire country or just certain parts of it?
Oh, no, we usually go out like for 3 weeks and we'll hit one certain area and then come back. And then we'll go out and do, so we go everywhere from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's a constant, and Canada, of course, and Europe, and, you know, it's a constant thing. And you know, summertime's always the great time for the festival season, seeing with that. And we're all going crazy now because I know you guys had a pretty tough winter. And,
yes.
And Michigan did too. I mean, we had feet of snow, which is unheard of where I was, because we're in the bottom part of Michigan.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all ready to party and have some fun. So I think it's going to be a great time for everyone over the next summer period, because it's like we've all come out of our little hovels and we want to get some sunshine on our skin.
Yeah, I've got your webpage, and it says you're playing in Michigan, then in Rochester and Syracuse, New York, and then, as I mentioned, Friday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Johnny D's in Somerville, Mass. And then the following night, you're going to be at the Elks Lodge in Franklin, New Hampshire. And then Scarborough, Maine, which is next to Portland, on April 27th. So you'll be in, and then Rockland, Maine. So yes, you're playing in New England right around that weekend, and that sounds great. So
it's going to be a great time. I do love that part of the world. It always looks beautiful up there.
Oh, it is. I've been in New Hampshire and Maine recently myself. It's really gorgeous, and here in Massachusetts as well. So some of the other things you've done, maybe not just Bare Bones, but more like regular blues, but you also mix a little roots music in there, you might say, right? A little bit of world music?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the didgeridoo kind of leans itself towards that. And it's, you know, I feel like it's my job to mention the Aboriginal people, because they've been so kind to me to let me use that wonderful instrument, and they actually help teach me to play. And so I always feel I like to sing about them, and you know, they're pretty much had the same history that Native Americans did.
Right.
We took all their land and, you know, kicked them out, basically, and ignored them for years, you know. But there's such a great culture that was lost for a long time because, you know, schools didn't teach us about their life or anything. All we learned about was Captain Cook coming to Australia and starting the country. So I guess, you know, as kids, we thought, oh, well, that must have been the beginning. And they kept the Aboriginal story away from us. And I guess I like to talk about it now because people need to know about these wonderful people that were around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I guess the world music thing is the fact that I do do songs about them, and it just lends itself to that kind of rootsy feel that sounds so cool.
Yeah. Speaking of schools, do you go around to schools and, like, teach about the blues? Do you stop into schools and teach kids about blues music at all?
I do, and I combine it with, I do this thing called, it's a quirky name, we call it Australian Digication, and yeah, and it's a whole presentation. We go to libraries and schools, and basically we talk about Australian culture, and we show them the didgeridoo, and we get them to make their own didgeridoos, which is kind of fun. So that one's really, and I combine also the history of blues music. It just depends how long that the school can keep their kids away from teachers, and they want to come and see something. So sometimes it's a half hour thing, sometimes it's an hour, you know, and the longer it is, the more I can go into different things. So, you know, I feel like it's our duty to keep music live in schools. You know, it's always the first thing to go when you're cutting funds.
Yeah, one thing I encourage people to do if they travel is you got to get to Memphis, you got to get to New Orleans, the Mississippi. Any place associated with blues or gospel or country or whatever, Nashville, it's great to do that. And some of the museums, the one down in, I'm thinking it's right next to, I think it's Clarksdale, next to the Ground Zero nightclub, they've got a great Delta Blues Museum. I really encourage people to travel and check out some of those things.
Yeah, well, I've got that one in Detroit, too, Hitsville, which was where
I've never been to
sound.
Detroit. I've heard, yeah, that's the Motown Museum, right?
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, and they've kept it exactly the same as it was back in the day. And it's like when you, like you said, Memphis, you go to Sun Studios there, and yeah, it's great fun. You're right, and we do that too. We make an effort to, you know, sometimes it's hard, Bob. You know, when you're touring, sometimes it's like get to the gig, play, and you've got another gig the next day. But sometimes you get a few days off, and then you can go and see this culture. And you're right; everyone should do it.
Yeah. So once again, we want to mention that you've got several CDs available, and as you said, they're on your website. I think Amazon has them, and people could download them and get them right away that way if you need to or something like that.
Yeah.
And we're hoping some people can make this show. Now, some of the people, can you name some of the acts you've played with that really, you know, major acts that really impressed you? Like when you go on tour, you might open them up for something. Who are some of the people you've played for recently that really impressed you?
Well, I've always loved Walter Trout. I mean, Walter's a bit sick at the moment.
Oh,
so,
I know. I've heard. Really sad. I hope he...
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's a tough nut, and he always gets me to play with him, and we jam together, and he's always a wonderful guitar player. I mean, he's incredible. And I'm sure lots of your listeners have seen him play, and I did a show with the Holmes brothers, those wonderful gentlemen of the blues, who are still the old school, you know, they go way back. I think the youngest one in it's like 70, and they can party. I mean, those guys are good fun. And just great gentlemen of the blues, you know, like that. And the thing I like about it is, the one thing about blues is they like you getting up with them and playing. It's not an ego, you know. Blues was never an egotistical thing. So, you know, you get all these great players, and they always say, hey, Harper, come up and play with me, you know, and I've done that with a lot of people over the years, especially when we do festivals. We get to jam with each other. And, you know, there's a guy out of Michigan that I think is a wonderful guitarist, is Larry McRae.
Oh, yes, Larry McRae, yes.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine now. And, you know, we get to play together occasionally. Probably not enough. I mean, we're always out doing our own thing, of course. But, you know, I used to admire Motor City Josh, too. And I think that's why we wanted to do that thing together and put that thing down. It was just a nice nice change from what we're usually doing. But, you know, there's just so many wonderful performers out there that I like to work with. Well, we've seen some great acts over the years. Probably too many. I even played with Journey, believe it or not.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That's. I guess their only rootsy kind of song is that loving, touching, feeling one. And I got to get on stage with them and played with Neil Sean, who is certainly a superb guitar player. I mean, he's incredible. He's certainly got the history behind him.
Yeah, I was just looking at your website and noticing that, yeah, you're going to be playing Colorado and Utah and Canada, and it said several times Australian Digucation in Colorado and Iowa and things like that. So you're definitely doing that. So that's great. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to seeing you here in the Boston area. And like I mentioned, you're also playing in New Hampshire and Maine right around the same time, and maybe you'll be at some of the festivals, the various festivals. Have you ever played the Chicago Blues Festival?
Yeah, I have, actually, and I actually played the didgeridoo there, and Willie Big Eyes was there, and he just loved that thing. He said, "What the hell is that thing?" And I went, "Oh, that's an Australian didgeridoo," and he just loved it, and he played some harmonica over it. He just really dug the sound. Yeah, that was a fun time. I think it was strange because they had all those great old gentlemen of the blues there, you know, loads of them that were playing there, and they saw me come in with this big lump of wood. They didn't know what it was, and they're just freaking out, and then they heard it and just loved it. So, yeah, I have done it. I want to do it again, but, you know, there's just so many things to do and wonderful festivals that sometimes you just can't fit them all in, you know. Canada's been really good for me, so we seem to be doing a lot of work up there.
Have you made it back to Australia as part of a tour?
Yes, we are. We're going back in November for just a short time. I've got to go and see my folks. It's been a long time, and I'm sort of combining it, a tour there with me catching up with my family again. So, you know, my mum got a little sick, and I want to make sure she's okay, so I'm going to go back there and give her big hugs and that, and have some nice sunshine and surf, get on a surfboard and probably fall off because it's been a long time since I did that.
Yeah. Well, we're getting into the warmer weather here. All that snow is melted, and we're looking forward to seeing you. Once again, this is going to be on Friday, April 25 at 7:30 p.m., Johnny D's, Davis Square in Somerville. It's right on the red line of the Boston Transit Authority there. So people certainly, you know, get to the concert easy. I'm hoping to make it myself. I'm going to see if I can get the night off from work, unfortunately.
Oh, good on you, mate.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But we want to thank you for talking to us. And I'm going to actually put this on. We have a Facebook page, and we'll actually put the interview up there so people can hear it. And we're hoping people can check you out. If not in Somerville, then one of the other area gigs you've got in New Hampshire or Maine, not too far away. So thanks very much, Peter Harper, simply known as Harper, right? We want to thank you for talking to us. And we're actually going to go into the next song we're going to play is Stop Staring at Your Phone. And then I also have you mention the Holmes Brothers. They've got their new CD, so we'll play a cut from that coming up momentarily as well. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thanks, Harper. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, brother. See you, man.
Bye-bye. Yours in the Blues. Bye-bye.
All right. There we go. Yeah, that was great. He was so much fun to talk to. I enjoyed that. And, yeah, I'm going to see if I can get that. I'd like to go to one of those shows or one of the – I don't know. Can I make one of the shows in New Hampshire or Maine? Let me see. On a Sunday – oh, he's playing on a Monday in Rockport, Maine. That's a bit of a hike, but – I have Mondays off. Maybe I'll make that one. We'll see. All right. Thanks very much to Harper. And let's get into Harper. This is called, for heaven's sake, Stop Staring at Your Phone. I think this is the right one. Yeah, Stop Staring at Your Phone. Harper.
I see you driving, Willie.